Ahead and get started. Councilor Onslow will be joining us at some point. We are going to start off with the 2021 Pavement Preservation Program funding options. We will not make any decisions this evening, but staff would like to have some direction on which way we think we might want to go. So with that, Mr. Johnson?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Council. Are you able to hear me okay?
Yes.
Thank you. So as the mayor said, we're asking for some direction tonight. What we're going to do is we're going to go over the different options with a couple of examples just to kind of show you what council can do and hopefully answer all of your questions tonight regarding, you know, what we're looking at for the pavement preservation, how to fund it, and what the goals will be for the next 10 years. And then we'll come back right now tentatively set in June to come back for action from council to let us know what they would like to do after providing direction, and then we can go to work in getting those options set up and come back to council at that time. So that being said, I'm gonna share my screen here. And is everyone able to see my screen okay?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm going to turn it over here first to Mr. Cass to kind of go over again what we're looking at with the pavement condition right now and what would be required over the time period we're talking about.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. So I will just give a very brief overview of what we've covered with you and the council over the last two meetings. First, just a reminder, this is showing our current funding level. The blue line there is our pavement condition rating. If you recall, that's a 0 to 100 scale, 0 being there's no road left, 100 being brand new road. The red bars shown on the screen are the deferred maintenance millions of dollars. So basically, with our current funding level, our pavement condition index is projected to drop over time, and our deferred maintenance is projected to increase over time. So not an ideal situation. Next slide, please, Kirk. Again, just as a reminder, this is what the pavement degradation curve looks like as it progresses through its lifespan. So you start out side with a brand new road. It's a PCI of 100 in excellent condition. Over time, the road slowly begins to degrade at a more and more rapid rate. And so our goal is to try and apply a cost-effective treatment, which is a slurry seal or chip seal, which has about a dollar cost in this particular scenario. If you don't meet that opportunity, then you're looking at further degradation, more intense work that costs more money. So your next sort of option is a mill and fill. It's about six times the cost of if you were to cut it early. And then if you miss that opportunity, your road degrades down to zero, at which point you're basically reconstructing the entire roadway. So the goal of the pavement management program is to try and catch the roads early and to do those preventative maintenance treatments like a slurry seal or chip seal early and often, which then gets you back up to that excellent rating. And then the cycle starts all over. Next slide, Kirk. So I just will briefly run through the scenarios again here. Again, last meeting we talked about with and without development. And so just for brevity, I have only included the with development scenarios for the refresher this evening. Again, this is these scenarios assume the development that we can pretty conservatively and reasonably assume will take place over the next 10 years, which is the life of this particular model. So again, right now we're at a PCI of 79. At current funding levels, that would go down to about a 70 with development, and the development would, including the development work that's happening with their frontage improvements, that would get us down to about a $12.2 million deferred maintenance at the end of that 10-year cycle. Next slide, please. With a different funding scenario, this one would be the maintain that 79 PCI average throughout our whole network. So in 10 years, we also be at 79. to be able to do that and factoring in the development again that we can reasonably assume will take place, we would be at looking at about $525,000 a year, and the deferred maintenance would be under this scenario would be down to about $3.1 million. And it seems from my conversations with other entities in the county, this is really the scenario that a lot of them are at right now. Some basically they're all in the boat of trying to maintain their PCI levels. Next slide. And then the final scenario that was run would be to try and get our PCI up to around an 84 average. That means everything is in good condition. This is sort of a good goal. This is where we would like to be.
Hey, Brian?
Yes.
Brian, the slide that you're showing right now is actually maintaining it at the 79 with development.
I believe this is the... $800,000 a year at 84 is what I'm seeing on my screen. Is that not?
Oh, got it. No, I'm with you. Sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. So the final scenario again would be to try and increase the PCI to that mid-80s range over the next 10-year cycle. So we'd again be going from that 79 to 84. The cost to do that, factoring in again the development, would be about $800,000 a year. And at the end of the 10-year cycle, we would have no deferred maintenance. So this would ideal situation to be in. Next slide, please. Yes, I will turn it back over to Kirk here to talk about funding scenarios and historic funding.
Thanks, Mr. Cast. And Council Mayor, if you do have any questions while we're going through this, please feel free to jump in and we can answer those as we go. And then we'll have some time at the end for some questions and discussion as well. So we did go over this slide in the past meetings that we've had, and this shows our historical general fund subsidy to our pavement preservation fund. The only thing outside of general fund that we have used for whether it's overlays or things of that nature is we have gotten a couple of small grants over the last 5 to 6 years from TIB, from the state of Washington, which are smaller grants that we got with the match that we had. Council over the years has made a pretty concerted effort to increase, although we haven't been able to increase a lot, mainly because of financial conditions over the past few years, but we're kind of working, we're getting more sales tax revenues in, utility tax and things like that. So that's part of the conversation now. In 2018 and 19, those are actual amounts, as well as 2020, of what we spent on pavement preservation projects. The 2021 amount of $416,000 is what's budgeted for pavement preservation type projects. And the reason why that's so much higher is we have a $130,000 match that we're transferring from general fund for the Hillhurst overlay project, and that's matched for a $500,000 TIB grant. And then we also have two sources of match for a CDBG grant for North 8th and Simons improvements. The grant is $255,000. General fund contribution is $41,000 and $215,000 in water system development charge match. The additional part that is related but a little bit different as we have $70,000 that council appropriated for sidewalk restoration. In the past, the amount that's kind of a fixed amount that council directed staff to use in every year's budget right now is $175,000 for pavement preservation and $20,000 for sidewalk projects. Typically, for the most part, that's been pooled together because there is some sidewalk restoration or ADA improvements that we've had to make in crosswalks for some of the work that we've been doing. But that makes up the $416,000. So the plan for this year for the Public Works Department is $175,000 in pavement preservation and $70,000 in sidewalk restoration, and then the rest of that will go to those two projects for match. So over the next 5 years after this, that would show $195,000, which again is $175,000 for pavement preservation and the 21st sidewalk as the base amount that we currently have been directed to put towards that.
Can I ask a question really quick?
Sure.
So we're budgeted right now at $195,000.
Correct.
And then the different scenarios had us at $525,000 and $800,000 for two kind of scenarios. Are those amounts suggestions or recommendations to have that in the budget? Or is that just, that would be money from all different kinds of sources?
That would be from all sources that council determines are the direction they want to go to. And the dollar amounts that Mr. Cass mentioned earlier are coming from the estimated cost to meet the pavement preservation index or the PCI index over the next 10 years to accomplish either maintaining our current PCI or increasing our PCI.
Because currently right now it's just an allocation of the general fund, correct?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
And then any grants that we may receive.
Right, but that 195 is separate from any grants that we may receive.
Correct.
195 no matter what.
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
So we do have one main source of funding options, the Transportation Benefit District, which council's well aware as they approved that back in the late 2008 timeframe to build the overpass. In 2012, the sales tax that was associated with that was repealed as that project was completed. So the benefit district sat as a benefit district that we could use, but there was no funding source until council approved the vehicle licensing fees in December of 2018. And we started receiving funding in 2019, June of 2019. So
that, excuse me, Kurt, but that TBD was only for the junction area.
Correct.
It didn't cover the whole city.
That's correct. Council made the change in 2018 to include the entire city limits as a jurisdiction. Thanks for that correction. So potential options for road maintenance, we could increase the subsidy from general fund. One thing that I didn't mention at the last meeting, which is an option, is we could dedicate utility taxes as a dedicated funding source. That's something that some of the other cities around, and I'll use Vancouver as the main city that does that, they have a portion of their taxes which are pretty significant in comparison to ours. We have an 8% tax for water and sewer, whereas they have, I believe it's a 26.9% tax, and they dedicate a portion of that to public safety and a portion of that to pavement preservation. And that is something that we could do. Out of the 8% we have for water, and I'm going to correct that, it's a 10% for the sewer. Out of that, 2% of all those funds do go to the street fund automatically to help our operations. So they help pay any operations for the city in the street fund.
Hey, Kurt, on the Vancouver one, did they not increase it recently by vote?
I don't know on the utility tax if that was by vote. I know by state law, you can go over the 6% by council action. So I don't know that it required a vote. I think it was just council manic. And then they also have a $40 vehicle licensing fee as well.
Okay, Vancouver used to be 23% utility, so I didn't know it had gotten up to 26.9.
Yeah, they bury it inside their rates, which that will change. There's been some recent legislation that they do have to call that out. They call it out on their website, which is sufficient for that legislation to show people what they are charging. But they do kind of bury it. They just get a total bill for each of the services, and it doesn't call out the tax portion separately like we do on our bills.
Okay. Battleground does the same thing with Vancouver.
Correct. So the options also include REIT funding that can be used for preservation of capital assets. The amount that we would be able to do maximum would be up to $200,000 per year. That's $100,000 for REIT 1 and $100,000 for REIT 2. Also, the Transportation Benefit District that I previously mentioned, we have a current balance as of the end of 2020 of just over $186,000 that's available for use if council desired. We can maintain the current vehicle licensing fee at $20. We can increase the vehicle licensing fee to $40 as of June of this year, or we can ask the voters to approve a sales tax up to 0.2%. And that's good for 10 years, and then you can go back to the voters for an additional 10 years, and then after that, you would have to find a different funding source. And then always there's grant funding, which no matter what method council directed staff to use, we would always use that to try to leverage as many grants as we could. So what I did is I just kind of did a couple of scenarios. I estimated the amounts of what we could do. Currently keeping the general fund stable at the 195 total between the pavement preservation and the street preservation, and then looked at what each of the other options could bring us over the next 5 years, beginning in 2022. And just to kind of clarify, there's two things we could do with the utility tax. We could take existing utility tax and dedicate that just to pavement preservation and not increase the utility tax, or council could decide to increase the current utility tax. And just for this scenario, and it's not a recommendation, it's just a scenario to show you what could be done. I did it as a 2% increase on top of what we receive right now, 2% increase to water and sewer, and then start a sales or a utility tax on stormwater of 2%. And again, like I said, we could take it out of there. In essence, that's the same thing as increasing the general fund subsidy, because currently the utility tax, other than the 2% that helps with street operations, goes to the general fund to fund all of the general fund obligations. So like I mentioned, general fund stays stable in this scenario at $195,000 per year. The utility tax increase would start in 2022 around $125,000 and go up by 2026 to just over $152,000. REIT would stay stable at $200,000 per year. That would be the maximum we would be able to do. $20 vehicle licensing fees, maintaining that as we're doing. Currently $184,000 in 2022 up to about $260,000 in 2026. And that's estimating the new vehicles that would come into the city with the current growth that we're having. $40 vehicle licensing fee would start at about $368,000 in 2022 and go up to about $519,500 in 2026. The 0.02% sales tax start at $319,000 in 2022. And the reason that's a little bit lower than the other years that you'll see is because it would take 6 months from adoption for Department of Licensing to be able to roll that out, up to about $604,700 in 2026. So those are the options that are available. So we can kind of go through a couple of scenarios, and I put one on this next slide. And if council would like, I could quickly add up a couple of others just to kind of give you an idea of what there is, or you can probably pretty quickly visualize that as well. So the scenario example I have here is the total amount in the table at the bottom of the screen includes the $195,000 we currently are doing from general fund, a REIT amount of $200,000, and then the current vehicle licensing options. The vehicle licensing and the sales tax option. So kind of looking at the $20 level, the $40 level, and then the 0.02% sales tax level. So that being said, the $20 fee would start at about $579,000 in 2022. So that's meeting that maintain your PCI index already. Up to 2026, which is about $655,000, which is not that far off from maintaining or actually eliminating deferred maintenance and raising our PCI index. The $40 option, about $763,000, which already is getting us almost to that scenario of increasing our PCI index, up to about $914,500 in 2026. So we're more than increasing our PCI index. So that gives us flexibility for other payment preservation and or potentially sidewalk preservation projects as well. Sales tax option starts at $714,000 in 2022. And again, remember that that takes into account the time frame for Department of Licensing to implement. And then up to just about $1 million in 2026. So I'm gonna stop there and ask, are there any questions or would council like to see any other options?
Hey, Kurt, go back to the screen that shows all of the options.
This one here?
Yes.
Okay.
Mayor? Okay. Councilmember Akeley, do you have any questions?
I was just thinking about the sales tax option, and I was so it's 0.02, which is 2 cents on the dollar. Could you remind me what the current sales tax is? What is the percentage of when you go to buy something now?
8.4.
In Richfield, it's 8.4%.
So if we did that, it would go to 8.6%.
Correct.
Okay, that's only, thank you.
Councilmember Day?
I have a question. Today, what do we usually expend the REIT income on?
Right now, what we've kind of set that aside for the last couple of years is debt service on Rourke, and then we would also begin to pay debt service on the Public Works Operations Center. That's about $1.4 million per year. So that's something that by our policies, our debt policies and financial policies, we do need to have the amount to pay in the current year and then set aside enough for the next year, which we do currently have, plus we have a little bit on top of that. What we've used it for outside of that is a couple of smaller projects. Let's see, we used it for some storm projects, we've used it for some street projects, and then also we did use REIT to help build Rourke as well.
Thank you. So it's basically to maintain big public debt we have and minor projects, but not for the infrastructure like stormwater or the water funds. Those are dedicated.
To clarify that, we can use it for larger projects, and we have done that in the past. In fact, we've built quite a bit using REIT, and that's what it's for, is for capital projects. The debt service, it's something that's authorized for REIT because we built a capital project, and then it pays for it over the time of the bond that we've issued. And it can be used for stormwater. Because stormwater is such a small fund, REIT really has been one of the primary things that we've used for storm projects that we don't receive grants for.
Okay, that answers my question. Thank you.
Thank you. Sure. Councilor Onslow, what are your questions?
Are you called on me?
Yes.
The Vancouver, I just asked Google, it's 8.4% also, right?
For tax, sales tax, yes.
Okay, and so do any of the proposals make you health and make you healthy, except for the sales tax?
The $40 vehicle licensing fee does. And then we could also do combinations of things. And you're talking about healthy by maintaining and or increasing the PCI, is that correct?
Correct.
We could do a lot of different options to get there. So it's not just the sales tax that would get us there. A combination of the $20 vehicle licensing fee, REIT, general fund, and potentially increasing that, which I do believe that we, with the growth that we've had, there is the option to increase that over the 195 we currently do. So we can get there, yes, by multiple different options.
But what that does is it shorts us on anything else that we want to do. And I, frankly, hate to touch REIT for that. Oh my gosh. It's like once you start using it, you never quit. And we need that for any purchases that we have. And also, don't we buy park property out of REIT?
We have, yes. And we also buy it out of park impact fee funds. Well, that's usually the primary one.
Well, the park impact fee funds are low, so I think I hate to touch the REIT. I know that the people hate the licensing fee. I would that's something that if we wanted to try to make ourselves healthy, it would have to be $40. But the sales tax, everybody that drives into Ridgefield and purchases something, they help pay for it. So, okay, I don't have any other questions.
Councilor Lindsay?
Thank you. So, did you say that currently of the 8% and 10% that were respectively on the utilities that we're collecting, 2% is dedicated to roads right now?
It's dedicated to the street fund for the operations. So it helps pay personnel costs and, you know, for street signs and different things like that.
Okay, so that's not at all the
same. That's not going to pavement preservation.
Okay, what is the rest of the utility tax going for?
It goes to the general fund, and that helps with anything that general fund can cover, which that would be public safety, that would be administrative costs, parks, cemetery, all of those kinds of things. In addition to, other than our motor vehicle fuel tax and the utility tax dedicated to streets, general fund covers the rest of the operations as well.
Okay, so utility tax isn't a dedicated thing that's collected, it has to go to certain funds.
No, it's a general funding revenue source. You know, okay. General use, basically.
Okay. How much do we typically collect? Right now, are we typically collecting annually for REIT?
For REIT, last year it was $1.7 million. I budgeted $1.5 million, and that's kind of what we've been between 1.2 and 1.5 in previous years. This year, based on what we've seen in permitting and things like that, I would say we're going to be between 1.7 and 2. And it's kind of trending in that pattern to be somewhere between the 1.7 and 2 for the next 5 years.
Okay. So if you added the 200,000 onto it of the 1.4 that we already have dedicated, you're almost maxed out.
Pretty close, yes. I would say based on what we got last year and what would be forecast, we're quite early, obviously, in the year, it would probably use most of it with a slight surplus.
Okay. That's all I have for right now. Thank you.
Councilor Wells, do you have any questions?
The only question, or I just got a comment. It's not really a question. And I guess one of the options that I am more in favor of is the sales tax option. I did have a question for Kurt. Do we have a 2% addition on there now, or has that went away? Because it was on there for a while.
No, that was repealed in 2012. So we're back to the 8.4%. The entire county, except for unincorporated county, is at 8.4, and unincorporated is at, I believe, 6.7, I believe. 6.5. 6.5, I think, is what they are.
And I think that 0.2% is a fairer tax. It doesn't only just burden the people in the community, but anybody that comes off the freeway and does any of the city services, they're helping support the city. As far as the cars driving on them roads, and we have potential of a large development out in the junction area, and that sales tax would really help the city coffers on that 0.2%. And so that's my comment. I'm really in favor of pushing that forward.
Great. And just for comparisons, Castle Rock does have the sales tax option for their vehicle licensing fees. They're the only one in the area, and there are actually very few in the state that have that, but they do have it. It does take a majority vote of the voters in the election to approve that, and then it takes about 6 months to implement it.
Kurt, I wasn't talking about a 2% on the vehicle license.
Right, on the, yeah, they have the sales tax option in Castle Rock.
Oh, sales tax option, does that have to go before the voters?
Yes, it does. Yeah, all sales tax has to be approved by the voters. Council cannot approve that on their own. They have to recommend that it goes to ballot, but the voters have to approve that.
Would it be submitted in a referendum?
It would be subject to referendum, yes.
Okay. That may be a harder sell, but actually it's the most fair way to turn it around and receive revenue. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Councilor Ziemer, do you have any questions or comments?
I think I do tend to agree with Councilor Lowe on that sales tax. And if that was the case, when would that go for a vote? Like, when would that be on?
That would be up to council. I believe, and I'm not 100% sure, but I believe if it was to go on the November ballot, and this is just for an example, it's in August that we would have to let the county elections know. So that's part of the reason why coming back to council for final direction and action in June.
Okay, and that's that November will be the earliest.
Mr. Stewart may want to chime in on that, but I believe there would be a special election also or something in August as well.
Council, I'm not sure whether or not, I haven't looked at the state statute on this to determine whether or not this must occur at a general election at a, you know, at one of the November general elections, or whether it can be done at a special election. So I'd have to look that up.
Okay, and then do we know kind of what, I mean, is we kind of have an idea of this is something that we think could potentially pass, or is this really just going to be like probably not going to happen? Do we have any idea about that?
We would have to do a lot of outreach on that to really feel comfortable either way.
And I think an explanation on that it is going to be, could it be dedicated 100% for road preservation?
Right, it would have to be dedicated 100% for road preservation, and we would have to message that to let people know.
That to the citizens, and at least they would know. There have been enough complaints on roads here in the community, so I think we may have support. That's what we're looking for,
yeah.
Support for that revenue.
Right, and that was a pretty big item that was commented on, and the marks that we received for roads and sidewalks, I think, were something that showed that there's a lot of concern by residents in our most recent survey.
Okay, thank you.
So, and you know, just for another comparable, back when we did the vehicle licensing fee, we did have some people speak out shortly afterwards with concerns about adding that on. But since then, we really haven't heard anything. At least I haven't heard anything. Exactly. I don't get any calls anymore about people being upset because they know that it's going for roads. So that would probably bode well for a sales tax as well, I would think.
Kurt, I have an additional question on the sales tax. The funding of 2022, the $319,000, then every year it goes up. And did you, how did you get to those numbers? Like what businesses, well, not necessarily that. Let me face it this way. Is there a way to have a scenario that factors in, you know, I'm sure there's other cities nearby that like have big business that generates a lot of sales tax, like cars. Like if they sell, let's say there was a dealership downtown or like somewhere, and they sold, you know, X amount of cars a year, that would generate a lot of sales tax. Or some cities, they have retail marijuana or growing, they grow it, and that generates a lot of sales tax. I don't know how much.
Right.
And I don't know how, if we had something like that, and we, you know, down the road, we're a growing city, we may have these bigger type businesses that generate a lot of sales. Is there any way to know, or you know, what that would boost the money up to?
Well, we can do models on that to get an idea. And typically, if a larger retail store is planning on coming in, there are pro formas that they'll come in and in pre-planning meetings, they may let us know what they're expected to bring to the city as they're negotiating for development agreements and stuff. So we can typically take that amount and say, okay, they're going to do X amount of sales. And we can come up with an idea of what they're going to do. When Rosehours was planning on coming in and we were looking, we did do a comparison around the county. We can't use some information from Department of Revenue to share out with the public, but we can do general information and we can get ideas of like-sized and like business with the Department of Revenue to get an idea of estimates on sales tax that will come in. The amount that is forecast in that table, that's based on our current sales. And what on our six-year sustainability model, kind of what we're expecting to see grow with the retail we know that's coming in right now has either put in business applications or are currently on the ground and open.
Okay, thank you, Kurt.
You're welcome.
You know, the only other consideration that we would need to look at with this potential sales tax is the school district is, they're not going to run a bond in April, but they're going to run one in November. So looking at the temperature of the citizens of Ridgefield right now, if we couple this 2% sales tax increase on that same ballot, what seemingly should be easy, could work against us. So that's just food for thought.
If we decide to run a sales tax on the ballot, we could obviously have the carrot being any vehicle licensing fees that are currently being applied to the city of Ridgefield would be removed, right?
Right, and what in the research I did when we first funded the TBD back in 2018 is what a lot of cities have done is they started out with the $20 fee because council can approve that, and then they used it as a carrot to tell them if you approve a sales tax, we will remove the $20 fee going forward. And that was the carrot. So they get it approved, and then, you know, unfortunately it takes 6 months for the vehicle licensing fee to be removed, but at the same time it takes 6 months for the sales tax to start, so it kind of works about the same. But a lot of places have been successful doing that, So that is an option. The only drawback, I think, for council to kind of think about on the sales tax, or probably the biggest one, is it is, you know, a 10-year bond, or I shouldn't say bond, it's a 10-year tax, and then you do have to go back to the voters, and it can only be done twice. So at some point in the future, then you're looking at having to replace that funding with a different source.
Okay, Mr. Johnson, did you have anything further you wanted to?
What I had in the other slides really were just kind of showing each of the ones individually. I think the only one I didn't show was the water and sewer utility tax. And this would be, you know, you could adopt the utility tax on stormwater. We do not have one currently. And you can either increase, and like I said, you could just dedicate some of the current utility tax or do a fixed amount from general fund to kind of say, you know, either way, it's really the same funding source that's coming over there, but council has the option of doing either. So what we want tonight, what we'd like to hear, sounds like it's sales taxes is really the direction, but to be clear on what you want us to work on and to come back to you in June for a final action and a way to move forward.
Yes.
And council, if I might, just kind of adding on to what Kirk just said there, we have a lot of options before you this evening. And instead of trying to choose a single option, because I think you have a lot of kind of choices for how you build a package, I think the first question is, are there any of the options that were presented to you this evening? If Kirk, if you could go back to the slide that shows all the options, are there any of those options that you would like us to take off the board and just not package up and look at different kinds of configurations?
I'll start. I'm not a fan of using REIT. I feel like that's like maxing out your credit card. So I'm not a fan of using that.
And I'm in the same room. I agree. I don't agree with using REIT. I don't like using general fund because that gives us the option to use it somewhere else. You can't always use a lot of the taxes or a lot of the fees that are up unless they are for that particular item that the fee is on. And I would almost remove the $20 vehicle fee because I'd say if we had $20 out there, my carrot would be if you don't vote the 2.02 sales tax, then the $20 vehicle fee will go up to 40 instead of coming off entirely. That's my advertisement.
I agree with that. I agree with Ron.
Yeah, I do too.
I'll chime in. I agree with Ron on the REIT tax and the general fund. I'm a little, so on the utility tax, the 2% increase, Jen had asked that question about what those funds are used for, and you explained that. And it's not really to do any paving, right? And
correct.
So I don't think you need to spend any time doing scenarios on the utility tax.
Well, we'd be looking at that, Counselor. We'd be looking primarily at a small increase in the utility tax dedicated for pavement preservation.
Okay.
Yes. Right. And just to make sure that I'm clear for you, Councilor Akeley, is the 2% that goes to street operations, that would still go to street operations. We're talking about either increasing 2% or even a higher amount. That's up to council. Or taking part of what's left in the other taxes for those types of services and dedicating another portion of that into pavement preservation. Again, that's up to council to determine and let us know.
If I may, I'd like to add that the sales tax increase would be a dedicated amount to pavement preservation. I would hate to see us have anything else other than the vehicle
licensing fee. I would hate to see anything else be dedicated to pavement preservation. Period.
So other counselors, any of the items on the list that you feel like, you know, it's just, you know, something that you don't feel like you could support and that we should just remove from consideration?
Yeah, this is Lee. I hate to dig into the REIT, but we could probably use some of the general fund. I wouldn't say eliminate it out of general fund completely, sure. I'd like to see REIT left alone and go for the 2% sales tax for the street preservation.
Okay.
Sandra, I agree. Take REIT off the table as a funding source. I think if we raise the vehicle fee to 40, you will have an incidence of the recreational trailers and vehicles. People may just stop licensing them and ride around untagged, which is, you know, really not a safe thing to do. And they're going to spend a lot more in penalties. But I know when we've done the spring cleanup and we watched the trailers come through, the majority of those trailers are not licensed. So I think those that would object to the $40, there'll be more occasional use vehicles that aren't going to get licensed. Just my thought.
And a clarification point there, there's some vehicles that are not subject to the vehicle licensing fee, and I believe trailers are one of those. So I don't think it affects those. Farm vehicles, trailers, some of those types of things. And there is a slide for you to look at later at the very end of the presentation that shows everything that's exempted.
Right.
Mayor? Okay.
Thanks.
Where are you at?
So the only thing that my only concern is I feel that we should fund the 2022 project with the funding that we can currently use right now. If we want to do the 2% sales tax and it doesn't pass, we've lost a year of funding. So my thought was is general fund, utility tax, a portion of REIT for 2022, and the $20 vehicle licensing fee. That will get us to where we need to be for 2022. And apply for the 2% sales tax. If it passes, great. If it doesn't, as I mentioned, we've lost a year of funding, and so we've put ourselves deeper in a hole.
Oh yeah.
Does that make sense?
I don't agree, because 6 months from September, or I see November,
yeah.
Unless you can do it in August, then you don't compete with the schools, and you're ahead of the game then.
Are you proposing doing the 2% increase utility tax?
Yes.
Mayor, that makes me nervous, because thinking back to during when you have public comment, more public comment than not is on people being upset about their their water rates. And people watch those bills like they lose their minds over those rates. And I think you might get a lot of grief over that for not a lot of income. It's just my 2 cents.
Okay.
And one last point of clarification is in this table, it shows everything for those sources. It does not include the $186,000 we currently have in the TBD fund. So that is something that if council directs us, whichever way they want to go, that is out there as a decision to give us direction on as well.
And we're not looking for that direction to use or not use that money tonight. Tonight
Correct.
Is to get direction on kind of, you know, give staff direction to start packaging things up for you all so you can take a look at it. If I might.
Yes.
So what I am hearing, and correct me if I'm wrong, other than, so the mayor had one, was one of you that indicated a willingness to use the REIT at least on a short-term basis. I did not hear any other counselors that were willing or wanting to use the REIT. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. So that one we will likely pull from scenarios when we are building them. The $20 and $40 I heard connected to the sales tax conversation, that if we had a sales tax, then you don't need the vehicle license tab. If you don't have the, you know, if you don't have the sales tax, you do need the vehicle license fees. Is that, am I hearing that correctly? It's kind of an either or.
On that, Steve.
Yeah.
I don't know whether the consensus was to drop the $20. I think there was an option in there that if we don't get the sales tax, we'll increase it to 40.
Well, agreed. And I guess my point was only to say that we would keep both the sales tax and the $20 and $40 vehicle licensing fee in the mix for scenarios, but we wouldn't have a vehicle licensing fee and a sales tax in a scenario.
Correct.
Okay, good. And then the only other, so those are the only ones that seem to come out. There was some back and forth about utility tax and whether we would increase or not. That's, so again, we don't need a decision on that this evening, but I heard enough kind of back and forth on that we could at least include that into scenarios for you to take a look at. We could also look at current level of general fund, any potential increase in general fund, and what would that mean to other services? What are you cutting? What are you taking from on that? So we could take that and put it in. And I think that's right now, I think that's about what we need to start building some scenarios for you all before we ever go out to the public. Is that, so is there something I missed in any of that?
I don't think so.
Council?
I have no question on the utility tax, 2% increase. So let's say we have a water valve in the middle of the street that fails, and Public Works has got to go out there and dig it up and put a new valve in or a seal, and then they got to pave it back. Is the money is that what pays to fix the asphalt after the repairs are done for utilities that are in the street roadways?
No, the utility tax strictly goes to fund general fund and street fund operations for whatever that they can do. In general fund, it's a general use tax, so we can use it for really any source. What would cover the repairs that you're talking about would be the water operating fund, mm-hmm. and that's built into the rates, and we do have reserves that are set up for that type of repair, plus the rates typically will cover something like that. The reserve would come in if we had to dig into that.
Okay, so the utility tax, 2%, some of that money would just go into a pavement to resurface streets. Some of
if
it.
That's if that was council's desire, yes.
Okay, now I understand that. I'm in favor of looking at that scenario of the utility tax increase with the others. Yeah.
Okay, council, we've run out of time. It's 6:30 and